But you could have boxed into that whole thing and it would have been perfect. Yes, that's the Karate Kid sequel I wanted all these years.
That's
so
fair.
I don't know that's where they're really going to go going forward, because it might just go off the rails.
Well, we know that they're going to go to Japan. We know that.
Yeah, well, you know, Daniel does have to go back and get another Ginsu knife.
Oh, my God damn it. Yeah, that's such a great guy. When did he get the knife?
I was like, this is bullshit, man. Right. I was like, I've seen Karate Kid Part 2 a million times. He never goes shopping for a goddamn knife.
Fucker never once got a knife in that goddamn movie.
Yeah, and if he did, why the fuck wasn't he wielding that shit?
Yeah, right? Instead of getting his ass kicked fucking up and down that goddamn island.
Ooh, yeah. They are the children of the Atoms.
Who the hell is this he's talking shit to here in this?
That'd be Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, the NWO.
Really?
Yeah.
The blonde hair here?
Yeah.
He looks like,
wig.
What is the name of that supervillain from the Justice League? He's like the zombie, swamp zombie guy. What's that dude's
Solomon
name?
Grundy.
Solomon Grundy. That's who he looks like here.
He does. No, that's Big Sexy, man.
No,
that's
shit. The Diesel. I would not recognize him in that fucking ugly-ass wig.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Sid Vicious right there. And the funny part about it, because he was cutting a scathing promo like very much like Sid Vicious was, and then Sid Vicious came out and arguably had his most vicious of Sid Vicious moments. Yeah, I really feel like we need to watch this.
Do you want to walk me into this thing? Because like I'm not real familiar with this guy, but I know he's a wrestler.
He's a wrestler who he has a certain promo style to where, how do I put this? He doesn't really know what he's saying, but he talks like he knows exactly what he's saying. And he messes up a lot. I mean, this one we're about to watch here is just a snippet from probably one of his most infamous promos where he messes something up. But he's got a history of them, so it's not just one instance. I mean, there is a fucking pattern. He means well. He really means well.
So his brain is doing one thing, but his mouth is doing another?
Mouth is, dude, it fell off, and it's out of the arena already, like going home. You know what I mean? It wants no part of what's going on.
Nice.
But look at his face. Look at his face right here. He's like, oh, shit. He realized right there in that instant. Yeah. You can see if you go back to 14 seconds and pause it, and look on a man's face when he knows, I fucked up.
Yeah, it's he's just, like, how do I play this off?
Yeah, you can't. That's it. You're so fucked. You got to roll with it. And like a pro, he just kept talking.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, I mean, that brings a smile to my face. I can't even tell you. Like, I feel like I'm glowing right now. Yeah. I'm grinning so much from it.
Wow.
It's just classic.
You can't help but feel bad for the guy, but it's probably, probably one of his most watched videos, though. So.
Gotta be. Yeah, well, that and, like, the time, like, he literally came off the middle turnbuckle in a wrestling match at WCW and his leg snapped in half.
Is there a video of that?
Oh, yeah, there is.
Oh, my God. Did that end his career?
I want to say he came back and wrestled a bit after that, but it was never the same. You know what I mean?
That sounds awful.
Oh, yeah, yep, I found it. Oh, dude, it crumbles. It's like his ankle just disappears, like someone Harry Potter that shit away. Just bloop, you know what I mean? Gilroy Lockhart took away that dude's ankle.
All right,
and he just folds on it.
Let's bring this up here. Should we watch this one on here?
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo. Are you ready?
Yeah, yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're watching here.
Oh, God. Oh, there it is.
Oh,
it's just flopping like a fish.
Yeah, and it just flops there. Ooh.
Oh, God, dude. Holy shit. Oh,
and he just man.
Yeah. I'm willing to say that ended the match.
Yeah, you don't think he just toughed that one out?
No, I do not. I absolutely do not.
Oh my goodness. Doggy.
Yeah, that's fucking brutal, isn't it?
That is ugly.
Yeah. Fucking nasty there. His leg just, it snapped, just, you know, nothing to it.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can't imagine the pain. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, how is that not a compound fracture? I mean, how is the bone not just like sticking out the side of his leg?
I think the pleather on the boot was holding everything in.
Wow. God damn.
Yeah. Brutal, right?
God. Wow. Yeah.
Now, what's worse in your opinion now? Like seeing that or when X-Pac tore his asshole?
Well, that looks more painful because you know, X-Pac doing that, you can't really tell. You can only imagine how bad that is.
Oh yeah,
that is just.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to picture a broken leg, but you could I could feel like my butthole tearing right now just thinking about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not taking away from X-Pac on how painful that was, because I'm sure it was devastatingly painful.
But not like that leg break.
That just, I mean, because I can see it in reality, you know, it's cringeworthy.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm almost sorry I saw that. That's going to give me nightmares.
Yeah, it might.
It's funny because last week we were talking about how I have my fear of just having my Achilles cut, but ooh,
yeah,
that's ooh.
And now that's got to be close. I mean, you got to figure like his Achilles definitely ruptured like right then. Right?
I don't know, or the Achilles tendon is the only thing holding that leg together right now.
Jesus.
Woo. Wow,
it's nasty.
Ooh, ooh,
it's definitely nasty.
Yeah, you don't just come back from that shit either. That's bad. Ooh.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty certain that that closed up shop as far as his wrestling career goes.
My God. Well, there's always a spot at commentating there for you.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, you know, but then again, the way he talks.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, he might just be the guy that's holding the mic in the back, you know, just be like, hey, let me ask you a question, and somebody else does all the talking.
Or, you know, like Val Kilmer, he's just doing cons.
Yeah, there's always money to be made there.
Yeah,
some asshole will pay $200 for an autographed picture. So,
I won't be this weekend. I tell you that.
Now, is this weekend the Motor City Con?
It is. Yeah, I will not be.
So you're not going to do it, huh?
No, I won't be.
Yeah, I think you're better off for saving that money.
There's no, you know, this is the first year. Like we're really like, there's no clear like, oh my God, so and so, because you know they just started filming the new season of The Walking Dead, so the entire cast who they had committed going to that isn't there. So you know it's. You know,
yeah, I mean, you're relegated if Val to, like, Kilmer the Green Arrow is your headliner, I mean, I don't think that's saying a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now Val Kilmer might have something going. According to Ron Howard, they're talking about a Willow sequel could still happen.
What?
So do you think Val Kilmer comes back as Mad Mardigan? Because Warwick Davis
still
looks
fantastic.
Well,
I think he would because he's not doing anything else but cons.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a spot in that movie for Peter Dinklage again, so... Because if I remember correctly, I think Peter Dinklage is one of the little people in that movie.
Is he really?
He's in the background, if I remember correctly now.
No shit.
Yes, I'm almost positive he's in the background. He's just a very, very young guy at that time.
But, man, I am. Yeah, I'm on the Google machine.
Yeah, look
at
it.
It definitely looks like him.
And make sure that I'm telling the truth. But I want to say I've read that somewhere. And, yeah.
It resembles him.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. He's just in the background. He doesn't play a main role.
It says he's never confirmed it.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's only a handful of little people that actually do, you know, work, you know, in these movies.
Right.
So.
Well, but how old is he, Peter Dinklage?
He's in his 50s now, isn't he?
Is he really?
I think I want to say that's. I think he's that old.
He's 48.
48. Okay, I was close.
Yeah.
So go back to 89 or 88 when
Willow came out in 88. So
go back 20
years. 30
years
ago. So
years.
He'd have been 10 when that movie came out.
Well,
yeah,
he'd be 18, right?
He's not the dude with the beard in that movie.
He was 18 when he did Return of the Jedi, wasn't he? Or no, I'm thinking of
you think of Warwick Davis,
Will,
right?
Will himself, yeah. Willow himself. Yeah, he was 18.
Yeah, Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But I mean, Dinklage was born in 69, and Willow came out in, what, 88?
88. So he...
Yeah.
So 19? That's, so, yeah, he would have been...
Maybe.
He'd have been a young man. I mean, he could have been cast in that.
Yeah.
But...
But I don't see Val Kilmer, like, if he comes back, like, he might be, like, the wise old king now, like, you know what I mean?
Or, you know, what they might
leave,
do is just,
leave fighting to, like, young, like, Mad Mardigan's son.
Yeah, no, yeah, then that's what they would have. It's kind of a new generation thing, and they'll have callbacks to these guys, you know, he'll be...
Right. Oh, no, Warwick Davis could still do Willow, you know what I mean? Absolutely, Willow could still get into the fight and...
You
that's
think?
His magic and off of that. All that. Yeah, he was Professor Flitwick in the Harry Potter movies, Warwick Davis.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't do a whole lot. He just kind of stood there and kind of waved his wand.
That's what you got to do for Willow, man. You
well,
know what I mean? Same shit.
Hey, Willow had some action scenes, though. I mean, he did. He ran up those stairs and he fought those trolls and that double-headed dragon, so.
Man, what a fucking fantastic movie Willow is. Yeah.
I haven't gone back to that in so long, so I can't speak for how well it holds up.
Well, okay, the CGI, it's kind of like going back and rewatching Army of Darkness today. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can tell, like, you know, it's obviously not going to hold up, but it's the charm, nonetheless, still holds up.
Yeah, there's going to be some nostalgia value. I mean, I saw this absolutely. Movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
And I remember loving it in the theaters.
Ron Howard knows what he's doing, man.
Yeah, yeah. From the mind of George Lucas there, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like I said, the guy, George Lucas, if I give him credit for anything, the dude can build a world, man. He's a good world builder, but anything else is shit.
Well, it'd be really cool to see a return, actually. God damn it, I hope it happens.
Well, I'm going to judge Ron Howard in a couple weeks when, Solo comes out.
Are you still not sold on Solo?
I'm still not sold on it. I mean, I know I'm going to see it, but I'm really going to withhold my judgment on this thing until I've seen it. But
so none of the new footage has been released, the TV spots, nothing like that. You're not encouraged.
I am not excited about it. I don't.
Oh wow!
This is the first Star Wars movie that's come out that I'm just not excited. I looked it up and I was like, oh god, that comes out in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I mean, shit. Maybe I should get some tickets. Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
But you're not. So if you don't see it when it's in theaters, you're not gonna be all that heartbroken about it.
Well, it's gonna depend on how hard it is to get tickets. If it's sold out, I'm not gonna be heartbroken. I'm not gonna be like, ugh.
You're not gonna put like Infinity War level efforts into getting tickets.
No. Because Infinity War, like we were talking about that 6 weeks prior, 7 weeks prior, and we're like, hey, we're counting it down. You know, I was ready.
Dude, it might have been 6 months prior. Yeah, like at the very, you know what I mean?
I was set. I mean, after Black Panther came out, and I was like, god damn it, can this movie get here now quick enough? Ooh,
yeah.
That no, just not that excited. But who knows? I mean, it.
You know, I'm fairly excited to see the goddamn movie.
Are you?
I am.
I mean, what's exciting about it? I mean, is it?
I mean, it's going to be nice to get back and just kind of see, like, parts of a character we've loved, even though it was played by someone else, you know, kind of them growing up. Like, as terrible as, you know, this show was, like, remember when the young Indiana Jones Chronicles came out? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, as a kid, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit, you know, now he's almost my age, you know, and he's still doing heroic stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. You just, it's got that factor to it. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. That factor is what scares me, because if you go back and you watch Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, those do not hold up. They're not
as
good.
Wasn't that Sean Patrick Flannery?
I don't even remember. I have no idea. I never watched that. I watched it when it first came out.
Oh, yes, it was. Sean Patrick Flannery.
It's
the Boondock Saint.
It's on Netflix Prime right or not, or Amazon Prime right now.
Is it?
And yeah, and I've tried to watch an episode of it, and I'm not entertained at all.
Oh man.
Yeah. So that's what I'm fearing is going to be this. I think what it is. I think I'm truly afraid that this is going to be the first truly Disney-fied Star Wars movie.
Oh.
And that's
okay.
What scares me. Because it's Ron Howard. I like him. I think he does some good movies, but I think he does some bad movies too. And I'm afraid that this is just going to be that first one that I'm just going to be like, ugh, this is why I'm so pissed that Disney now has the rights to this shit, you know, but we will see. I'm not going to judge it completely yet, because I do have to see it. I'm going to withhold that. But
now he's gone on to say, Ron Howard, like there have been talks about sequels already, right? Because they still have a couple more years to play with in between, like the time like Han would, you know, first come across Luke and Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all Hollywood talk. I mean, everybody
is it too early to be talking
everybody,
about sequels?
Everybody
right
is sitting there. They're not going to make that decision to pull that trigger until they see how well this does in the theaters.
Yeah.
I think it's
already tracking pretty well on pre-sales, isn't
it? Because people, it's a Star Wars movie. But I think,
Like
I said, I have a feeling this is just going to be that first one that hits that brick wall and just kind of, people are going to be like, I didn't like it, you know, and it's going to get mixed reviews. But
yeah,
who knows? He could surprise me on this. I could be like, walk out of there and be like, holy shit, I love this film.
Wow.
But
apparently the pre-sales doubled Black Panther's.
Really?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Well,
holy shit.
Well, I think there's more Star Wars fans out worldwide than there is Marvel fans.
It's
hard to believe.
It'll be a lot different when Black Panther 2 comes out, I tell you that.
And that's another thing, too.
Solo's not touching that shit.
Yeah, Black Panther was still unknown to a lot of people. He was a character that was introduced in Civil War, so you kind of got a feel for who he was, but you didn't really know.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't until after that movie came out and people said, you need to see this movie, that people started going to see it heavily.
Yeah, come Phase 4, the pre-sales for Black Panther is going to be ridiculous.
It also explains the reason, you know, why Black Panther and all that wasn't featured so much in Infinity War as you know, we expected it to be. That's because they were filming at the same time and nobody knew how big of a hit Black Panther was going to be. If they knew, Black Panther would have been a huge part of Infinity War.
Well, I mean, they're still filming a bit of Avengers 4, so, I mean, you know.
Well, I'm sure, bits and pieces, though. Well,
depending on when they bring them back, like a lot of these guys might be back to like the final act.
Yeah, these are all pickup shots they're doing, you know, about how they want to finish this thing off.
I still think like that's that big payoff scene they had in the Infinity War trailer where Hulk's running behind Cap and Black Panther and everybody. I think that's going to be how the final battle plays out when they go back to it.
That's fair. I agree. I think that's a very good possibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Hulk has to come out sometime, right, and avenge himself as an Avenger.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Well, and I think also, some of the leaked set pictures have confirmed, like, you know, it's Hulk and not Ruffalo back in time with Tony and Ant-Man going back to find Cap and all that. But apparently also, Aaron Taylor-Johnson has been spotted on set along with Tom Hiddleston.
Seriously?
On Avengers 4. Yeah, Quicksilver.
Wow, really? Are they going to because
they don't have a speedster. They could use the speedster.
I guess.
They could easy. Why not go back in time and get him?
But I mean, they killed him off in Age of Ultron. Bring him back now? I mean,
because he made from the loss of Vision, Wanda's just going to be so distraught. Like, you know what I mean? She's just going to say
we know Vision is going to come back without the stone. I have no doubt about that.
At that time, you know, maybe a Quicksilver. Well, also, and also, it kind of plays in part too. Who was it that were first reporting this? The Express UK was reporting it, and a bunch of other websites caught onto it because people were reporting, like, you know, hey, Quicksilver's fucking here, and you know, Loki's also spotted on set, but as in his old Loki garb, like from his Avengers 1 outfit as well. And Thor also is wearing his old Thor stuff and not current Thor stuff. But there was a leaked there's a leaked photo from like a year ago. It's of a set of monitors. And on the monitors, you can see a couple of shots. Like, because they filmed these movies back to back, most people assume this scene was going to be from Infinity War. But looking back on it, I think this scene is from Avengers 4 because you can see in a pre-viz, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange have, like, where Doctor Strange is coming through the mirror dimension saying, Peter, protect them, they're not dead. But in one of the other images in the top left corner, it's kind of fuzzy and it's really hard to see. But, I mean, you know, it's not that big of a stretch to say that's fucking Aaron Taylor-Johnson in that shot.
It kind of looks like him. It's too hard to tell. It is fuzzy.
Yeah.
And
some of the projects he's been working on, like, he's had to have, like, the Quicksilver-ish facial hair, you know what I mean? So it's not that big of a leap that he would be doing this.
I mean, okay, is it a stretch then to say that, you know, at the end of Avengers Infinity War, or Avengers 4 here, that they just go back and correct all the issues, you know?
Yeah.
So,
funnily enough, they think they're going to... The movie's also obviously going to revolve around time travel. So what they're going to do is they're going to go back and they're going to steal the Power Stone from the Guardians, so the Guardians aren't even going to form.
Well, what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, I don't know. Like, these are just all these fucking rumors that everybody's reporting, like, a whole shitload of spoilers, and they're thinking now, like, you know, it's very possible that they steal the Power Stone and undo the Guardians,
you know,
and then,
the,
you know,
the thing is,
eventually they wrap them back around or something.
Here's the problem with movies that deal with time travel.
It's fucky, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you can open up so many doors, so many paradoxes here, but the problem I see with this movie is that it seems to me that the Time Stone is the only stone you need, because you can go back and you just redo anything you want and change anything you want. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Who gives a shit about the Power Stone or the Soul Stone or anything like that? I can just go back in time and change shit the way I want to. Now, I remember they tried to explain this in Doctor Strange, where they said, if you play with time, you're going to create all these problems.
The more you fuck with it, the more it breaks kind of deal.
None of these movies have shown that consequence yet. So why get anything else? Why doesn't Doctor Strange just hold on to that thing and say, you know, yeah, kill Tony. Who cares? Go back in time. You know?
Yeah. Well, and also, too, they're supposed to be diving into the quantum realm where in Ant-Man they've already established, like, time exists differently there. So maybe they're going to jump through different realms. But then that does that mean they start going to other alternate Earths? And that's just a whole big old...
I hope not, because I think that would potentially get way too confusing.
Yeah.
Let me run this by you, too. Okay, so we're looking at these monitors here, and you say this guy could be Quicksilver in the background.
Could be.
Is there a possibility that this is the Adam Warlock character?
For Avengers 4 and they're sneaking him in?
Yeah. Because I don't know. All I know is what I've read on Wikipedia about Adam Warlock, so I don't know if he's even going to make an appearance in this. Because remember, they teased him at the end of Guardians 2.
Right.
You know, that's what that, even that golden, you know, cocoon there.
Yep.
Is there a possibility he shows up in this thing too?
If they surprise sneak at Adam Warlock, people are literally going to shit their pants in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, but I think Captain Marvel's going to step in and play the kind of Adam Warlock role where she's going to wield, you know, the gauntlet. Some rumors are floating around that it's...
Does Adam Warlock and Captain Marvel kind of have the same powers? Are they equally matched?
Kinda. I mean, it's not that far. It's not that far of a leap if she's going to step in and play the Adam Warlock role. Like, sure. It's not going to ruffle any comic book fans' feathers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know it because in the comic, I think in the Infinity Gauntlet comic, I think Adam Warlock is one of the ones who steps up to save the day, though, right? It's Captain Marvel, Adam Warlock, and
he wields the gauntlet, and then they all go fucking crazy on Thanos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all.
It's interesting, though. I don't know. Like, the time travel stuff alone is going to be like, man, they better be very, very careful with this next movie. Like, this... Oof.
Well, that's what I say. I think you run into so many pitfalls when you try to rely on this whole time travel shit. Because, like I said, what's the point? Because there is no consequences if you have time travel. You can kill off everybody you want. And you're just like, well, I just flip the...
Go back in time and get them.
You know, like Harry Potter. Yeah, I can flip the time stone three times and, bring life back.
Well, maybe Tony Stark could talk to Wong, and Wong will be like, okay, here are the rules. Like, you can only do this, this, and this, or that. You know what I mean? Like, they'll... You know, maybe they'll define the rules a bit to allow them to
but
fiddle.
But once again, you know what I mean? They do that. I'm telling you, it is going to create so many more questions, and you're going to have all the fanboys and nerds come out and be like, wait a minute, how is this possible? Hell, we're going to talk about it on this show when that time comes.
Try to break on the timeline all you want. There's still going to be some fuck-ups, probably.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, at the end of the day, that's where they can say, well, you know, time travel, so that's how we can explain any one of our timetables at this point, you know?
Right, time travel.
Yeah, because Tony went back in time at this point, and blah, 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 yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to frustrate me, but they're going to have to write their way out of this. They've already done it, obviously.
Yeah.
Unless they're making, you know, some of these pickup shots, they're trying to tweak it a little bit, but...
Right.
I think they already know how they're going to get out of this thing, so.
Does one of the heroes, like either Cap or Tony, have to sacrifice themselves to get everyone out of the Soul Stone who's trapped in there?
I still stand by, you know, Tony Stark has to die to obtain the Soul Stone.
But isn't that kind of lame if he does it the same exact way Gamora did? Like, she was sacrificed, so is it more poignant if he sacrifices himself and he just throws himself off the cliff kind of deal? Like, or is it better if Cap does it and he has this whole
somebody
moment, right,
has
skull.
To sacrifice something they love, right? Is this the coming together of that team? You know, they're saying, okay, God damn it, one of us has to die, and you know, Tony Stark is going to look at him and say, you know, look, I fucked this whole thing up, Cap, you got to lead him to the finish line. And he's got to sacrifice himself. Because, like I said, bottom line, they can't bring, you know, Tony Stark back. He's too expensive a character to bring back. You know, you just can't.
Yeah.
Unless they recast him, which I don't think they're going to want to do. Who's going to replace Robert Downey? Nobody's going to do that. Nobody can step into those shoes.
Not as I, like, if you have a new Iron Man, you have to go, you know, you have to go Riri Williams or something like that. You have to, you know, or just shelf the character at all. You can't.
And it's the bookend of the whole thing. He started it. He's going to be the one that finishes it, you know?
Yeah,
I think it works perfectly, and it makes financial sense for them to get rid of him anyway. And it's going to be painful for us to watch. Like I said, he's the first one. He's the one we've watched the most. He's come out in the most movies. He's reprised that role so many times. I hate to say it. I mean, he can be a real dick and everything in those movies, but, man, you're going to miss his character, though. You're going to miss his wit.
Yeah.
So,
you know, yeah, he is pretty expensive. Do you know they actually just reported how much he made for Spider-Man Homecoming?
I didn't look at that, but I'm still venturing. It's got to be like $20 million.
He was on screen for about 15 minutes is what they're saying.
I believe that.
$10 million.
Wow.
He made almost $1 million a minute.
God bless his agent, man. Jesus.
Dude, for real.
How? Oh, my God. I mean, it's not to the suck point to be Robert Downey. Yeah, I mean, this guy's making so much money. I mean, he can't spend it all. Jesus.
No, no way. You think it's like is he like the Steve Jobs thing yet, where if he stops to pick up like $1,000, it would cost him more?
Yeah.
That kind of deal.
It's getting to that point. I mean, goddamn. He's got to be a billionaire now. Shit.
Scrooge McDuck, man. Just Scrooge McDuck. Yeah. It's coming.
He's just going to build a giant money bin and go swimming in all that cash.
It's got to happen.
Wow. Unbelievable.
We can dream that we can all be there one day.
I mean, I can't imagine having that much money. I mean, you wouldn't be the same.
No, absolutely
you wouldn't
not.
Treat people the same. You wouldn't be treated the same.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that'd be weird to have people look at you like that. You know what I mean? Like you're not human anymore just because you're like, you know, just ungodly rich and like super famous.
Yeah. You know, you could buy and sell people for real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean,
all you gotta do is act for 15 minutes and, you know, you're good.
He can take a lesson from the Marvel Universe. Well, didn't come from Marvel directly, but, you know, with great power comes great responsibility here.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
We'll give the credit to Sony for that one, but hey.
Yeah. Well, now,
Marvel owns it. Or
yeah, yeah.
Has a share in it, I should say.
a stake. They have a stake in it, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go
and
with that.
They've made it better. I will say that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. With Willow 2 coming out, like hitting the nostalgia well a bit, another one that's a film that's going to strike a certain chord in people, the children of the 80s, I guess, Bill and Ted 3. Is happening officially.
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
A little, yeah, right? Crazy.
I would have figured, because I was always under the impression that which one is not Keanu here? Which one?
Alex Winter.
Yeah, I was That's under the Bill. Impression that he was just doing films. He was making films. He was not acting.
Yeah,
anymore.
He's a documentary director, yeah. And all that, yeah.
Yeah, so either he's hard up for cash and just like, hey, I'm going to get paid out here, but
maybe they just really want to go back and play these characters again.
Once again, why? You know, even Keanu. Keanu's been a filmmaker in the last couple of years.
Yeah. They're reviving everything. I mean, you know, why not? Like, it was a really popular movie. Both films, I'm sure, did financially well.
I mean, it has cult following. I've gone back and I've watched the first one. It's still entertaining. It's stupid, but it's entertaining. The second one, not so much. I don't like watching that one.
The Bogus Journey?
Yeah, yeah. It's not that great, but
both movies made money.
Well, I'd imagine. I can't imagine
their
budget.
The first one made quite a bunch more, though.
How much was their budget for the first one?
Let's see. First one, the budget was $30 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did it make?
Oh no! It says for both films. Oh, so that's for both movies.
So $15 million a piece.
Yeah, basically, and it's 78.5.
Okay. For both. So that's a pretty good return, though.
Yeah.
I mean, after maybe some advertising and all that, it probably pulled $20 million. And
do you know what this new movie is going to be about?
All I've seen is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard now that it's supposed to be. You know, the same kind of storyline where they're still trying to become rock stars, yep. Except now the stakes are a little higher. It's, you know, saving the universe, not just saving the Earth.
Yeah. Space-time itself tearing apart.
Yes. And that's all I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, which makes sense. You're on the sequel. You got to up the stakes because, I mean.
But it definitely kind of sounds like they're almost using this as a vehicle to launch a younger franchise. They're going to be traveling with a whole new batch of historical figures and their daughters.
How much do you want to bet they're going to try to spin this off onto a Netflix series? Kind of like Cobra Kai.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's the future of it. They're just going to say, we're going to draw this out and make our season. You know, we're going to make a 5-hour movie over a season.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, basically.
Because I can't see them just saying, oh, yeah, there can't be enough money in it. Because as popular as that series is, I don't think this iteration of a movie will make a ton of money.
You mean Bill and Ted Face the Music won't be a box office?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be the next Avengers. But it,
wait, speaking of Cobra Kai, that one got officially announced for a pickup second season. So we have to start YouTube Red again.
Boy, yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, you have to pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
or just create a new email address. You know what's,
really,
those are unlimited.
You know what's really crazy, man? Because I was thinking about this after our last show. I was almost thinking, I was like, you know, this is so entertaining and I want to see it get a new season. But then I got to thinking, I was like, you know what? I almost wish this was box ended. Because if you go back and kind of think about it now, this whole series really encapsulated what you want in a sequel.
Done.
That's all you need.
Yeah,
it was a 5-hour movie and broken up in 10 parts. But all they had to do is kind of add some stuff onto the end and not try to leave it open for the next season. But you could have boxed into that whole thing and it would have been perfect. And I would have been satisfied. I've been like, yes, that's the Karate Kid sequel I wanted all these years.
That's
so
fair.
I don't know where that's they're really going to go. Going forward, because it might just go off the rails.
Well, we know that they're going to go to Japan. We know that.
Yeah, well, you know, Daniel does have to go back and get another Ginsu knife.
Oh, my God damn it. Yeah, that's such a great guy. When did he get the knife?
Yeah, that's, I'm still asking that question. I was like, come
on,
man.
That's a great question, Brian. It's so valid. I can't stop thinking about it now. It bothers me. I was like, where the fuck did he get the knife? That's a great question.
Yeah, there's got to be some forums out there where every fanboy is like, this is bullshit, man. Right. I was like, I've seen Karate Kid Part 2 a million times. He never goes shopping for a goddamn knife.
Fucker never once got a knife in that goddamn movie.
Yeah, and if he did, why the fuck wasn't he wielding that shit?
Yeah, right. Instead of getting his ass kicked fucking up and down that goddamn island. Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, I think the closest thing he had to a knife was a garden hoe, you know, or a spade that he was fucking, you know, replanting shit, you know?
That's, I guess, it. If he whipped that drum forth back enough, you know what I mean, fast enough, it might be like cut the guy if it was like a garrot wire around there instead of string.
Yeah, it just whittles itself down to a knife.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least that's coming back, so that's good. I mean, you know, they do have some lofty goals, because, I mean, like you said, the first season of Cobra Kai is about as perfect as you can get for a sequel to a movie like that.
It really did its thing. And where they go from here, I'm curious to see. Hopefully we've had some people listening to our show that are going to take some of our ideas, maybe, that we had on the last show. So if you haven't caught that, go back and watch our review of that. It's pretty good.
Give us those Daniel fan films we're clamoring for.
Yeah. Did you go back and watch Karate Kid, by the way?
Yeah,
I did too, and I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, God damn it, this movie is way better than what I remember.
Yes, it is. It holds up.
Not that I disliked it, you know what I mean? But it's like, God damn it, this is a good movie.
But now you look at it through the lens of an adult and a person who's looked at films and kind of understands how film are made now, and you kind of like, holy shit. I was like, this is not just 80s cheesy fucking teen movie. This is really good. There's drama here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It wasn't like She's One of the Guys.
Just One of the Guys. Yep. That's
Just One of the Guys.
Wasn't a great follow up for William Zabka.
Also starring William Zabka. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. As a villain who beats people up, you couldn't make that shit up.
Another one of his movies where he's a villain and beats people up, Back to School, is on Prime.
That's
now.
Right. Yes. I did revisit that one.
I love how he's coming back. You know what I mean? William Zabka, like, everybody's just start throwing his shit back on.
You need to go back and read some trivia on IMDb. You know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in that shit because I don't know what to believe and what not to. There's a lot of shit about William Zabka in there, about him trying to play his character real funny and try to be nice. And the director had to like kind of reprimand him on set and be like, look, man, you need to start changing your role up here because people are finding you too nice. You got to be the bad guy, because he wanted
the Karate Kid. He was too nice.
No, on Back to School.
Because
he wanted to kind of not get typecast as the bully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was trying to, like, you know, make himself kind of goofy, but still be the bad guy. Yeah. The director had to like pull him in. This, like I said, this is from IMDb trivia, and put as much stock in as you think deserves, you know, but there is some truths in a lot of that bullshit, but I found it interesting though.
What year did Back to School come out?
86. Yeah. Summer of 86. There was a lot of good movies that came out during that time.
Summer of 86.
Yeah.
Damn.
Summer 86. You know, like Space Camp came out during that time.
Oh my God.
Invaders
from
Mars.
It was Joaquin Phoenix, right? Wasn't that when Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, yeah. It was in one of his first roles as a kid. Yeah, and
God, it was.
Also a very young, what's her name? Back to the Future.
Leanne Thomas?
Yeah.
Right? No.
You're right there. Why am I blanking here? God damn it.
Was it Leanne Thomas?
No, it's not Leanne Thomas. God damn it.
Hang on, I'll get there. I'll get there. Give me 1 second. I had a lateral move from Back to the Future to Howard the Duck. Lea Thompson.
Lea Thompson, yes. Jesus. Yes. Yeah, because it was about the time she did, I think also that same year she did Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
And that's the one where she was all in her bra and panties and shit.
With a giant, you know, duck.
Yeah. With a duck who was carrying a condom around.
That might have been Marvel's first movie.
Yeah.
Like their first big, like, you know,
that, you know what I mean? I can tell you that unless you were a comic book fan, I don't think anybody would have known that was a comic book character.
No, had no idea. Yeah. You're just watching just some duck running up on
Earth. I guarantee everybody who went to go see that thought, oh, this is just another creation of George Lucas. And wrong. Jesus.
Do you think it holds up?
No. It's probably one that I would watch because it's like entertaining, but it is clearly made for an 8 or 9 year old.
The director of Howard the Duck was the writer of American Graffiti. How is that even possible?
Well, I'm sure they thought that was going to be a much bigger hit because it had George Lucas's name on it.
You don't like American Graffiti?
Oh, I love American Graffiti. I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's an amazing movie. I don't give it the credit that everybody else says.
It's way better than Howard the Duck.
Oh, yes.
It's just surprising.
Yes, it's an actual film with a story. And,
oh, he also wrote Temple of Doom. Wow.
Which I'm on record as saying that's not... It's my second favorite of those series, but that's not saying a lot. Because I absolutely love the first one. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And then
I thought Crystal
else,
Skull would have been number two.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Yeah, that it's not. But, you know...
Right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Howard the Duck. Boy, I haven't thought about that movie in a while.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing much skipping out on that one.
No.
One movie I'm sure you always think about is Tremors. Were you aware that Kevin Bacon was working on a potential TV series of Tremors?
I was not aware of this until you brought it to my attention in a post on our website.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Well, for those who haven't seen it, the Tremors TV show was basically going to do what Halloween's going to do. It was going to ignore every other movie they had done.
Smartly.
The other Tremors TV show, probably wisely so. Yes. No offense, Michael Gross. They were going to ignore them all. And it was basically going to be where Val is still in perfection, and he's the old hero, and he's just waiting for the Graboids to come back. And sure enough, like, you know, 40 years later, because, you know, however long it's been since the movie came out, they come back, and it's up to Kevin Bacon to basically go Cobra Kai, William Zabka, Johnny Lawrence, and, you know, find it in himself to save the day.
Yeah, well, they're like, well, I need a paycheck. Yeah, it'd be great to cash in on this retro shit.
And it's really fucking surprising, too. Like, sci-fi, like, they ordered the pilot. They obviously put money into it based upon what we're going to watch here in a second. And from the trailer, it looks fucking pretty good. But they didn't pick the show up to series.
I can't even believe this didn't make it onto sci-fi.
It's fucking surprising given the kind of shit movies they put out, isn't it?
Yes. Well, yeah. I guess it makes sense, though, in this respect. This probably cost a billion times more to produce than any of that garbage they put on that channel. So
yeah, that's probably fair. You want to watch this trailer?
Yeah, let's do it, because I have not seen this. I'm going in cold here, so I'm excited about this.
I can't wait.
Oh, so there's a crazy gun guy person on this one, too, huh?
Well, they got to have a Burt Gummer.
Yeah. Are you telling me they couldn't get Michael Gross back for this one?
No, he's working. He just had a new Tremors movie come out on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tremors and Ice.
Yeah. I'm glad to see he's still working.
Yeah. He's been holding the Tremors franchise up with Jamie Kennedy.
I mean, you know, he can only live on the royalties of Family Ties for so long.
True. Yeah, I can't believe they
didn't
pick this show up. So this
didn't get picked up, huh?
Nope, it did not.
Some of the bullshit that they put onto Netflix and all this other stuff, they wouldn't pick this up?
But Sharknado 6 is coming out.
We can
get a Tremors TV show.
Seriously? That's bullshit.
Yeah, man.
Man.
I can't believe they didn't pick it up, but I mean, you know, this whoever posted this this trailer online, they posted it on Vimeo under the name Valentine McKee, which is Kevin Bacon's character name from the show. So I'm willing to say, in a Deadpool move, they put this trailer out in the hope someone will be like, "Well, I'll buy that."
Well,
and put it on.
I mean, hell, they've shot a couple episodes probably. So
yeah, my only complaint is that it looks like the Graboids are CGI.
Oh yeah,
I don't think. You got to go practical, man, if you're going to show it that much. You can't downgrade like that.
Yeah, but I think nowadays, I think that's too expensive for something like this.
That's a shame,
man. It's probably
cheaper
to go CGI.
That's a real shame.
Yeah, that CGI doesn't look great either.
No, it didn't. Maybe that was a problem, too. It looked too
hokey. But you're right. I think that's a part of the charm of the original Tremors was, you know, you had these practical, you know, models of these huge worms that,
yeah,
you know, they would just shoot the shit out of, you know, and have
treat it like a shark from Jaws, man. We barely see him until fucking, you know, yeah, the final moment. You know, keep it cheap.
Yeah.
Up the suspense. God damn it.
Yeah, but I think modern Hollywood or anybody thinks that, you know, the modern audience doesn't have the attention span for that. They'd get bored too quick.
Right.
I think it's bullshit, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
What do I know? I just consume movies.
Right. So, but we do a lot.
Yes.
We consume them a lot. Yeah,
they're getting my money, so.
They are. Oh. All the goddamn money. I don't know how much money the Predator reboot or sequel will be getting based upon the teaser trailer. It didn't do much for me.
I haven't seen it, and I get scared with these, you know, go back to the well and make this bullshit, because especially following, you know, Alien versus Predator and those disasters.
And there's a hint of Alien versus Predator horseshit in it.
And I don't like that.
Olivia Munn drops the line that the Predators are looking to kind of hybrid themselves with humans. Yeah, you see, so there's something fucky coming down the pipe, I think.
You're going to go back to the well, and I understand they're probably pulling this from comic book shit and everything like that. But don't go back to the well to the shit that people make fun of.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to remake something or bring it back, reboot it, whatever you want to call it, go back to Arnold. Be like, people love that movie.
They asked him to cameo, but apparently he could not make it.
Yeah. Even he's probably got some standards too. So.
Well, yeah, he's working on the new Terminator movie, yeah, so he can't come back to Predator.
Yeah.
There is one highlight, though, one hidden jewel about this movie I did not know until this teaser trailer dropped. In Predator 2, Gary Busey plays one Special Agent Parker, Peter Keyes.
Wow.
Opposite Danny Glover in that movie. And have you not seen Predator 2,
Brian? Well, I've seen Predator 2. I saw that in the theaters.
Okay. Yeah, it's... He's I don't know. I like
fun movies. fun bit of trivia too. That Peter Keyes role was supposed to go to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was supposed to play the
was
Peter Keyes
really?
Role. Yeah, as a guy coming back and trying to actually catch the Predator this time. Yeah, but
That would have been fantastic.
Arnold said no to that shit. So.
Oh, that's dude. That movie would have been so much better. Oh my god.
You think? I don't know.
Oh yeah, dude. See, fucking Dutch come back, but as like the heavy this time. Oh yeah, that.
I mean,
great.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, it'd probably be a little more entertaining than it was. But that, I mean, look, they got their hero, you know, as played by Danny Glover. Yeah, I'm sure Arnold took a look at that script and said, "Yeah, fuck you guys. I'm getting paid to do a lot of shit."
I liked it. I really like Predator 2.
I have a guilty spot for it too. I do think it is dumb. But it's entertaining.
I did just watch Demolition Man for like the thousandth time earlier. So
I enjoy that movie myself.
I do care for dumb movies.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, even to an extent, I can't believe I'm going to say this because I'm going to embarrass myself, but I like Judge Dredd every once in a while too. You know,
The Stallone Judge Dredd?
Yeah. As dumb as it, but it keeps me entertained every once in a while. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back to the Predator sequel. Jake Busey is going to be in this new one playing the son of Special Agent Peter Keyes. So he's the Jake Busey is Gary Busey's son. Yeah. He's going to be playing the son of the character. Dude, it's. But
that'll be
my
entertaining.
Question is, does he up the Busey factor to match that of his father, or does he play himself? Because Jake Busey, you know, he's a good actor in his own right. You know what I mean? He's, you know,
well,
it's
good,
not like
good
a carbon
is
copy.
A, is a stretch. I mean, that's a.
But it's not like you're not getting a carbon copy of Gary Busey, like version two. You know
yeah.
What I mean? He's his own, you know, he's his own actor and all that. So, but does he up, you know, the Buseyness of it all?
Well, Busey,
like, for this
if
role?
You're in a Predator 2, I mean, Busey doesn't go Busey in that movie. I mean, he tries.
He doesn't want to get his face burned off.
Well, he tries to play it safe, though. He tries to play it, you know, low key and straight, but.
Hot off it, his turn as Mr. Joshua and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a badass.
Mr. Joshua. Yeah.
The toughest blonde guy ever.
That's right. Yeah. Is that him? No, not Joshua.
Oh, such a
another Danny Glover
movie.
One. I mean, yeah.
Another Danny Glover.
I'm sure they were happy to work together again.
Yeah, sure. It's the greatest day in Danny Glover's life. Gary Busey.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he's probably like, God damn it, I can't get away from this guy.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Man, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's bad enough I had to work with Mr. Mel Gibson.
Carries around empty plastic bags and loose change everywhere. It's fucking weird.
Is that a Twinkie in your pocket?
Yeah, what the fuck, Busey? God damn it.
Yet.
All right, man, let's get the fuck out of here. Please check us out on our home on the web at adamsnerds.com. On behalf of Brian O'Mara, we'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, yeah.